ask everybody, whoops, ask everybody to please stand and say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, ask clerk to please call the roll.
Ballinger.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Here.
Srulich is absent.
Okay, now, got a motion for the bills.
I'll do the minutes. Motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of May 17th and the special meeting of May 24th be approved as submitted.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Okay, now would you read the list of the bills, please?
General Administration, $29,656.69. Police, $18,893.10. Fire, $5,187.42. Street, $11,606.31. Parks, $12,476.24. Public Health and Safety, $1,347.21. Garbage, $104.64. Cemetery, $9,452.75. Water Operations, $45,229.92. Sewer Operations, $4,779.25. Water Deposits, $550. Clinton Sanitary District, $48,633.75. Special Tax Allocation, TIF 1, $67.66. Special Tax Allocation, TIF 4, $596.42. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $462,216.10.
Okay, entertain a motion to approve the bills and payroll.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Just make one comment. This was a 3-week period for bills, so they're abnormally high. Okay, please call the roll.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried. Okay, petitions and communications. Is there anybody here that would like to say a few words or bring anything up?
Been up here for months and months and months, asked all kinds of questions. I said last month I'd be up here to talk about this question, this Farnsworth report. But before I have those questions, I got a statement directed towards Steve Myers. Can you hear me, Steve?
I barely. You want to tilt that microphone forward a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
I can.
You know, I was up here and I asked you about firemen and on-call pay, and we had that discussion, and you said they don't have on-call pay or paid on-call. You recall that? And so about a week ago, I was on social media and I saw a fabulous video for the fire department here in town. Had every member, I would say every member, there was a bunch, and their rank. And I screenshotted it, and I'll provide it to the city. It was interesting because right there in that video, it says, basically inquire within or we're hiring paid on call firemen. So if that department calls it that, it doesn't exist.
Paid on call is a thing that is used in bargaining units with fire departments, and it's for firemen, full-time firemen that are paid and have to be on call for a certain period of time. They'll work 24 hours on, be on, paid on call for 24 hours and then be off for 24 hours. So it's a statement of a term that is used for pay of, in our bargaining units, for pay of firemen.
All right, thank you.
And we don't have paid on call.
Okay, thank you.
Bargaining unit agreement.
At this time, Commissioner Ballinger, are they hiring a full-time fireman that would qualify under?
No, they're not.
Okay, then I don't understand why that'd be in that advertisement. Back in September of 2018, I visited the council and I had a bunch of questions regarding the fire training facility. October the 1st, 2018, I received a letter from Steve Myers, city attorney, that it was not a, the fire training facility was not a city project, was not approved by the city, designed or engineered by the city, wasn't bid by the city. No city funds were in that project. Well, during that construction, there was a city payloader there with a city employee in it when they stood those two vertical boxes up on end. You recall that?
You're wrong.
I am?
You're wrong.
So you're telling me that Bob Hawes was not sitting in that piece of equipment?
He was not sitting there for the purpose of the training facility. You are wrong.
I went to his house after it, and
I'm,
that's what the man
told me.
Okay. So we've got to where this isn't a city project, but it's on city property. So in this Farnsworth report, I'm sure everybody's looked at it. Does anybody have any comments on that? Any statements? Because you read it, and there is a ton of questions that arise just by reading it. If anybody's been in the construction field, you know that all materials in commercial places need to be fire retardant or not wood. Are the floors in those containers wood? Because reading this report, it states that they are. The floors have to be sloped a quarter inch every foot to a floor drain, a scupper. The bigger question is a non-for-profit started this, and there's not a lot of information on it. I've asked multiple questions, and I haven't got any answers. So is it such a broad project that's capable of being completed? You know, is that a confined space right now? Since you go to the second floor and there's only one way in and one way out? That's a good question. It's for the safety of those individuals that's training there, working there. There is thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get that up to spec. What about water? What about sewer? There is none of that, not to my knowledge. Who's gonna pay that bill when this isn't a city project? You know, I came in here 2018 and I asked all kinds of questions. Now, Tom, you stated last meeting, you got a whole packet, Seth. You've got answers. Oh, I've got answers that ask more questions that will not be answered. Point blank. But in 2018, I came up here and asked all kinds of questions. The city attorney responded to them. This is just a big smoke show. You'll answer questions that you want to answer, and there's other questions that you won't. But ultimately, who's going to pay to get this up to spec? One last question. On October 17th, that evening that you put fuel in your pickup, it states from the county, for billing purposes, that it went in a fire truck. Is that deemed fraud? Because you used an electronic device to get a commodity and assign it someplace else? I mean, these are all good questions. And nobody answers. Now, I hope the minutes of this meeting reflect everything that I asked. We got a city attorney. Taxpayers pay for it, don't we?
Yes.
Then I think that these questions should be answered. The other big question is when you have a non-for-profit status, and I'm involved with a couple, we have to have quarterly or biannual meetings and keep minutes and records. You know, I've asked, hey, where's this non-for-profit meet? Who's on the board? I haven't got one answer.
I guess I'd have one question there of our city attorney. Is the volunteer fire department, it is a private not-for-profit corporation. Is that correct?
There is a not-for-profit corporation that was created by the fire department. The not-for-profit corporation is an entity that raises funds for the fire department to support the fire department. The volunteer firemen are that. They're volunteer firemen. They are volunteers through the city. They could be separate from the not-for-profit. They could be part of the not-for-profit. But the not-for-profit corporation is more of a fundraising entity to have a vehicle to create funds that are then donated to the Clinton Fire Department. The volunteer firemen are part of a volunteer fire force, which has its own rules and regulations, and which does work for the fire protection work for the city.
With that question, with that be, that statement being made, in the past, when the firemen went door to door and knocked for donations, it was for that non-for-profit organization, correct?
I believe so. Yeah, because we didn't get it in our city funds.
Well, were those individuals, employees being paid out of tax dollars while they were collecting money?
I believe they were not paid for doing the collection.
Really? We'll look into that. One other question, the Apple and Pork Festival, if my math's right, and I've been wrong before, 289 man hours was turned in. Who authorized that? You know, that event, the Apple and Pork Festival, is for the community to come together. All these organizations raise money for their non-for-profit to fund them for most of the year. And we have so-called volunteers that are collecting wages.
You don't understand what a volunteer is. Volunteer is somebody.
I absolutely do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
A volunteer comes and does something for their community. These guys take their Saturdays and Sundays and does stuff for their community.
Do they get paid?
Yes, for that they do. Yes,
okay.
Because they provide a service,
okay,
for the safety of all those thousands of people in the city of Clinton.
Okay. You was a big proponent or against years ago.
You know everything about me.
It's common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I know guys that was on the department, mm-hmm, years ago. You wasn't a fan of going to emergency calls.
Times have changed. Everything in the fire service has changed. I suppose you know that too.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Quit attacking everything and start joining and be a volunteer and help instead of attacking.
Oh, I am a volunteer. Commissioner Ballinger, did I not volunteer at the Eagles to serve food for your organization?
No, you did not with me. No, you did not. What you do with the Eagles is up to them. You did not do it with me.
The money went to you.
No, it didn't. I never got a dime from you.
Your organization.
No, I didn't.
It wasn't my money anyways. It was all donations.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I've asked questions for years.
And you have got the answers.
Oh, I have?
Yes, you have.
How many times I see you putting fuel in your vehicle over the past 3 years?
One time.
No. I went by and waved at you. Yeah.
Enough.
You're going to have to provide some documentation to prove that, or else that's, you've been there many times.
That's fine, Tom.
The card, he does not have a card, and it was for that one time, unless you can prove other times.
Who's going to pay to get this structure is a question I have tonight.
Well, number one, I don't know what the cost would be. Is Dave ready to talk about that?
Yes.
Well, what is the cost?
Could we
to get
refer
it
this to our resident expert on that?
Okay.
Dave Dallas is a driver.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of documentation on that.
Okay. I'd be curious who engineered it, you know, and all that.
You got
a vertical structure that's made to be horizontal. It states right in this report they're not made for that. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Curiosity. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi. My name is David Dallas. I'm one of the full-time engineers for the Clinton Fire Department. I've been on the fire department for a little over 37 years. I'll just address, hopefully, some of the questions will be answered. Some of them probably won't. I have nothing to do with any of the pay questions. But we'll start with the Farnsworth report. The first one, which was dated January 31st of 2019. And under the first bullet point, actually the first and second bullet point, it says NFPA 1402 Guide to Building Fire Service Training Centers, attached for reference. And NFPA 1402 is a guide and not a regulatory document, which means it is not law. We don't have to follow it if we choose not to. Mm-hmm. Now, we'd be foolish if we didn't try in some aspects, but for the most part, this is not something that is, we have to follow. It is not law. Third bullet point, no 5-year inspection found. That's actually in NFP 1403, not NFP 1402. 1403 is the standard on live fire evolutions. Shipping containers commonly used for fire departments for creating training centers. These are used coast to coast. And yes, there are some. The containers are set up on edge. I've researched online. I've found several of them designed by training facilities that are stood up on end. They are designed to take vertical loading also. In fact, they're actually designed to stack 9 high, fully loaded. Containers, they say that they can't really, or Farnsworth cannot really certify those containers because they didn't have anything to do with making them. If that's the way they choose to approach that, that's up to them. In the end, when we do get it finished, we do plan on having it inspected by an engineer to give us any other recommendations that we might need to change or add to it. The exterior stairs that they mentioned, we just haven't got to them yet. They are in the planning. There will be an exterior stairway from the top of that first floor can, which will give us the second exit from the second floor. As far as protocols to inspect the container, we do have, or I have started a procedure manual with the rules for the facility. Again, it's not finished yet. It's still in the works. When it is finished, it will be given to the city attorney for legal review and to the council for approval. On the second memorandum, again, it's dated July 23rd, 2019. Again, that lists the regulatory guidelines and documents. Again, it mentions NFPA 1402 is a guide and a guideline only. It mentions the International Building Code, which the city's adopted, and the NFPA 101 Life Safety Code. It is also interesting that in the second page, it mentions the authority having jurisdiction, along with the architect or engineers, if we have a look at it, can deem that the structure may not be required to follow the full building code. That's something we have to look at. If such that we do, we'll fix those issues that they find that we need to in that case. He talked about the wooden floors. Again, that's something that's mentioned in NFPA 1403. Again, guide. It's not law. Now, can we do something about it? Well, it's going to cost us way too much to replace all the wood, but where we do have the burn barrels and the burn racks, our plan is to put 1-inch concrete pavers underneath those to protect the wooden floor. So even though we can't meet the standard exactly, we are doing what we can to help. Every burn room or compartment should have a minimum of 2 means of escape. At this time, they do, except for that second floor, which, again, once we get that stairway in, we'll meet that. The stair treads says they're supposed to be a maximum of 7 inches. Some are 8 1/4 to 9 1/4. Again, if it's determined that we don't have to go under the building code, we'll get the proper letter like it says to get and get that on file. If we find out that we have to follow it, we have no issue in adjusting the treads. It's no big deal. Mentions that the bottom of the stairs were not fixed to the floor for structural integrity. Those are now welded to the side of the container and the bottom frame rail, so that was taken care of. As far as post-installation weld strengths, again, that's going to be something when we get it inspected. Handrails, all the handrails are on the facility except for one area, and that's on the top of the one-story can. There's going to be a flat roof prop put up on that, and there will be handrails around that. They're already purchased. They're just sitting in the bottom of the can. So as far as the Farnsworth report, some things we've taken care of, some things we just haven't got to. It's a slow process. It's when we get time to work on it is when we work on it. So it's still going to take quite a while to get it done. I'd also like to cover a few things as far as the NFPA guidelines. For 1402, some of the things that we have already taken care of, the window sills, which are supposed to be rounded to prevent catching of clothing, that's taken care of. Stair treads are supposed to be slip resistant and open so as not to collect water. That meets. Safety railings, again, they're on the prop except for the ventilation prop, which is yet to be put on. Standpipe on all floors, we have one donated that's going to get put in. So as soon as we can get it installed, there will be a standpipe on every floor. No below ground areas. Again, that's something that we don't have to worry about because it all sits above ground. It mentions heat, thermocouples, and temperatures. That is going to be very expensive. So instead of trying to come up with money for that, we will be conducting test burns just to see what fire loads will produce how much heat, so we can keep the heat down in the cans just by how much we burn in them. So, and we have our thermal imaging that has heat sensors that can tell us the temperatures of the cans and stuff, so we can monitor that. NFPA 1403, which is the NFPA standard for live fire evolutions. This one will probably be able to conform to almost if not 100%. It goes over prerequisites for men, health and safety, safety officers, which the department has a state certified safety officer, covers extreme weather, instructor in charge. Our department does have an NFPA 1403 live fire fixed facility credentialed instructor. Mentions fire control teams, which is all covered in the policies. Inspections of PPE, which is the protective gear, those will be done prior to any kind of training. It'll have communications plan, EMS plan, water supply plan, mentions fuel materials, parking and staging, visitors and spectators, pre-burn plans, which is a several page document that you have to fill out, which will all be filled out and on file. There won't be any live victims, it will all be mannequins. The inspections, there will be an inspection before and after each training. There'll be one on an annual basis and then every 5 years by a qualified engineer. That's all in standard, that's all planned and will be in the policy. Burn charts for how much fuel you'll burn in which area, the rotation of it, who's in what group doing what, that's all going to be documented and kept. But regardless of the standards and talking about whether it's law or whether we're going to follow them or not, we're going to follow 1402 and 1403 the best we can. Obviously, 1403 we can follow pretty much 100%. 1402 we'll follow where we can for what we have finances for. In cases that we can't, we'll try to do the best we can in those certain instances. But I'd really kind of like to do a quick comparison. This training facility has been around for a long time. It used to sit on the south side of the yard waste facility. It was only two containers, and that was and I forget the year we even did it. It was prior to 2015 under a different commissioner. That facility was only about approximately 300 feet from Mr. Reddington's house, almost in plain view. It had some trees in the way. We did no compliance whatsoever of 1402 and 1403 back then.
How many times did you use that day? Exactly,
I don't know. We've used it several times back there. We had no compliance whatsoever of 1402 or 3. There were times we burnt improper fuels. There were times we burnt large fires directly on the wooden floors. We had no burn plans, no inspections, no policies and procedures, and no complaints. Since 2015, it sat kind of idle for about 2 years, and then in 2017, we moved it to its present location. Now it's about 600 feet from Mr. Reddington's house, and it's an obstructed view behind the yard waste facility. We did have a couple training sessions there where we did some burning, and we had started planning on stacking the containers. I did talk to Dan at that point and told him that we really needed to get some policies and procedures set up for this to keep it safe. I also mentioned the 1402 and 1403. Basically, his remark was make it happen. We want to keep it as safe as we can get it. So the policies procedure manual is started. It's in the works. We're trying to meet 1402 as best we can due to our finances. 1403, almost 100%. This facility and our training procedures at this point in time has never been any more safe than what it used to be. I mean, it is more safe now than ever before because we're starting to follow some of this stuff. But now we're getting complaints. Again, this facility is not completed yet. We're still in the works of doing it. There's still things that are going to be done, still things that are going to be changed. And you can rest assured that while I'm involved in this and while I have the support of Commissioner Ballinger and the rest of the City Council, that minimizing the risk and the liabilities and maximizing the safety is my utmost priority. So with that, if you have any questions,
Dave, before you go to that, would you explain to the other departments that the people that have come and looked this facility over?
Yeah, we've had Bloomington Fires come down twice to look at our facility because they were in the middle of trying to get one put together. So they got a lot of good ideas out of it. And this facility isn't just going to be used by us. It's mutual aid departments. If we ever do Cornerstone classes, it'll be departments from, you know, anywhere in the state that can come and take, you know, classes here. But, you know, it's especially my goal and the department's goal to keep this as safe as we possibly can, and I think we're well on the way to that.
I got a statement for you, Dave.
Sure.
I'll keep it real short. Back when the fire department put those two boxes on the south end of the rest facility, they sent a letter out to all the residents around there notifying us, hey, this is what they're going to do. I went and talked to the commissioner at that time, and I talked to a couple others and said, first of all, it wouldn't be a good idea to put it back there. You don't even know what's back there. Well, and I asked how many times a year they're going to use that. Two, maybe three times a year. Okay, that's fine. Now, you're talking 10 foot in the air, and, you know, clear in the back. Now it's 40 foot in the air. But back there, you're right. They did burn couches, mattresses. There was a pile of springs that sat back there for 4 years. But I've complained about this from day one. You act like all of a sudden that it's a complaint. No, I complained about it when you guys first started doing it over there.
Who was the commissioner at that time?
Probably you.
No, it was Jerry Melton.
At 40 feet in the air where you moved.
I'm talking the original when you said all the complaints started.
I went and talked to him.
That was never relayed to any of us from him.
Yeah, and I said, good luck trying to get a fire truck back there. How many times you drive a fire truck back there up to it? Exactly. You can't go back there. You can't drive a heavy vehicle like that because it's an old clay pit.
We drove engine 6 back there a couple times, drove it through the yard waste facility and kept it parked within the yard waste facility and pumped our hoses off of it.
That's why it no longer sits there, because it was not a good location.
It was not a good location.
We did not put it there.
But what I'm saying is it was
we did not put it there.
Minor, very minor in the back. Where it's at now, how many other departments are going to be there? If it's not that big of a deal, why didn't you build it in the center of town? Who wants it right next to their house? Burning live fires in, smoke, why?
That particular area is zoned heavy industrial.
Oh, I'm well aware
of
that, Tom.
So the use, you know, it's a comparable use, so.
But there's also a no burn ordinance in town, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you lead by example?
Because the fire department's exempt from that.
Always got something.
That's not something. That's the way it is.
That's how they get trained.
There's a lot of training facilities that have burners that create the heat, and they use false smoke.
Okay. And if we had the finances for that, we could probably do that too, but we don't.
Mike, I got a good question. How much money is spent by the department to send individuals every year, to the training facility or training grounds at U of I or other departments?
Not enough.
To get training to justify having this here.
I couldn't answer
like,
that.
You can't ever be overtrained.
No, it's
coming
not enough.
Home, hey, hold on. Coming home to your family safe is main priority. But also, we saw guys working 40 feet in the air and not tied off. So don't tell me about safety. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, come up front. Come up front.
Thanks.
Stick around there
Thank
for
you,
a
Dave.
Second.
Yeah,
don't Thanks, Dave.
I've got another question for you.
Name's Tom Harberger. I reside in Clinton, also a member of Clinton Fire. In correspondence to Mr. Reddington's question, how often do we have people go to outside training? I agree, not enough. But bringing this facility within our area would be, make it even easier to get the training that our men need. Trying to get people to have families, have full-time jobs. I myself have two, including being on fire department. Three kids, trying to get time to do training is hard. Nonetheless, getting out. When I first got on the department, I drove all over the state for training. Now, I'm lucky to get training here in town. So bringing the facilities here would take care of our men and our community. So, I don't know how far this wants to go. I've been to burn facilities like ours all over the state. Quad Cities, down south. They're all built around the same basis, same construction. Up Quad Cities, they have verticals like ours. It's great for rope rescue training. Are them verticals going to be burned in? I don't know. I'm not part of that design feature. But I'm focused on our men being able to do their job, being able to train to do their job like they have been. Because with numbers going down everywhere across the states, having properly trained people is the hard part.
Does Murrow have one?
Murrow does have containers. I recently seen them.
I thought I seen some.
They're stacked in almost the same configuration, two on top of each other and one beside. They do not have verticals, but also looks like they did not have the area to do verticals.
Right in the middle of town.
Yeah, right behind their station, as a matter of fact.
Seen some.
Warrensburg is the same way.
Mount Zion, I was going to ask, have you been to their facility? It's right on the main street of Mount Zion, next to their fire station, and it's right in the business district with a school catty-cornered.
Yes.
And they run it, they train on it, and I've just been curious as how do they get by in places like that. You know, it has to follow the rules, and I think that's what we've been trying to do, is follow it as close as you can.
Now, I know up in other burn containers I've been in, we've used these burn barrels. We've used these racks made of angle iron and heavy steel rebar to hold the material that we're burning, usually pallets or hay, to make the heat, make the smoke. And you really don't feel it anywhere near as much as you would in a real fire until you get right close to it.
And the fire in these facilities are not burned on the floors.
They're elevated.
They're in containers. So.
Yes.
All in all, if you guys lived next door to it, you guys would have a complaint too. Put yourself in my shoes.
Seth?
Move it to your neighborhood.
Why not move away from a heavy industrial area?
I've been down there going on 50 years, Tom, and it wasn't there.
Well, we all know what's in that clay pit, so...
It doesn't smoke, and it doesn't make noise.
That clay pit doesn't. Boy, I tell you. Okay, we need to, I appreciate you coming, Tom.
I do have a couple for Mr. Dallas.
Yes.
I got a couple of things. Okay, one, we do not have, we've got a safety officer now. Mr. Dallas has been doing this for a number of years. And we used to have to send everyone, if not my... somewhere else for any and all training, basically. All the volunteer firemen had to take and travel. Champaign, Springfield, Bloomington, whatever. Is that not the case before you became training officer and really started doing the training here in Clinton, that now they don't have to go?
When I got on the department, we did as much training as we could here. Anything live fire or technical, we had to go somewhere else. Our training was not, it covered the basics. We now have certified state instructors that can actually train people and sign them off to get certified. So we can actually get certified people at our own facility. That probably started probably in the 90s when we started getting some instructors, but we only had two or three. Certain course approvals, then you can teach those classes and get people certified in that.
In that expertise area or whatever.
Also, Johnny, to go with the instructor stuff, I sent Dave to a special class just for running this facility. He is certified to run it, to make sure all the guidelines are met. Correct, Dave?
Yeah, that's the NFPA 1403 Live Fire Fix Facility Credential. I got that in March, and it's good for 3 years.
And we're getting ready to send a second one.
Okay. And the second thing, we kept hearing about, how are we going to pay for this? Being a not-for-profit, and you're working on it in stages, is that your plan, is to, as you generate money, whatever needs to be switched and changed, is that how you are doing it? And that's why it's not just getting done all at once? Because you're getting the money ahead of time and then doing the projects?
We allocate money out of the funds raised every year for that purpose.
Because I know what that's like, by being out Little Galilee and things. They generate their funds before they build the next project, and they've tried to be very good stewards of trying to do it without taking money out of other budgets or doing anything. And I know that's what you guys have been trying. But
when this is said and done, that's a $250,000 facility if we had to buy it. Correct.
The one I trained in Columbia City was only four containers, and they spent $150,000 to have somebody come in and do it. And it's not as big as ours.
And with the power plant sitting right here, their own people is planning on coming in here and doing their training right there, and they pay us fire protection.
Okay. Anything else on this subject? Okay, one other thing before we go on to the department reports. I'd like to introduce John Hoblett. John, would you stand up, please? John's going to be working with Steve Myers and going to be our city attorney.
Yes.
Steve's just getting old, you know.
He could always pull a Tom Brady and come out of retirement.
That's right, yeah.
When Steve told
me
that.
And you already can see that John is a much better dresser than I am.
Right, yeah.
Well, yeah, when Steve told me that he'd been doing it for 40 years, I didn't quite believe him, you know, because he must have aged so well, you know.
There you go.
I'm going to guess the city of Clinton kept him young, so.
Goodness sakes.
I look forward to working with you all and providing and addressing your legal needs going forward. And I look forward to working with Steve as well. The man has much experience. I know when I was working with getting my feet wet with the city of Lincoln, Steve was always a good resource, and he's very knowledgeable. And I would think that what you guys have here with him has been so much of a rarity in the state of Illinois. For someone who has been doing it for so long and so consistently. So I'm really happy to been able to, in essence, I guess you could say that he's provided me, not quite mentorship, but he's provided me much advice, probably to his annoyance at times, but it has been a very, very knowledgeable and fruitful experience for me. So,
yeah. Good to have you here, John.
Yep, very good, very good.
Well, I'm a member of the Rotary Club, too, guys.
Oh, yes.
So, again, his picture in the paper and have to pay money all the time.
That's right,
right,
yeah.
Because he'll have you jump in front of him. So you get the
yeah, exactly. All right, very good. I'll let you guys get back to your business.
All right, thank you, John.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well.
Okay, let's see. We don't have anything from petitions and communications or
public affairs.
Let's see. How about Kenny, your department.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Ben, can you do me a favor and close that blind on me, please? Yeah, please. Thank you.
Our street commissioner is blinded.
Yeah, I'm blinded. That's not a good thing.
He's pretty fragile, you know.
Yeah. I just got a couple things. We are still looking for a part-time person and a full-time person. We're still taking accepting applications. The part-time person has to be at least 18 years of age, so for summer help. The guys have been real busy this week. We finally got contracts set up where we can get concrete now since Rogers is closed. So we're going to start getting some of these concrete holes filled in. Plenty of trees taken down, so moving on pretty good with the help of the water department and everybody. So it's going good.
Where do we stand on getting the paving put in our new Hillcrest subdivision?
Steve?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm reaching out to the engineers that engineered that project to get an explanation. Hopefully have some sort of report for you for the next meeting.
I think Steve's lost out.
I can shed some light on that if you can hear me.
Yeah.
I had a teleconference with the engineers and Dave Stark himself just, it's been a couple of weeks ago now, and the fact of the matter is there are still subgrade issues from the wintering, and we're at a point that we need 7 consecutive days of dry weather because they're going to have to do a 3-day disc and dry and recompact. Then we'll have to do another compaction test, and then if they can pass compaction, they'll immediately pour it thereafter because it's a 1-day pour. But it just seems like, and especially since our teleconference, and we go 2 or 3 days, and then we get a rain.
Yeah.
We go 2 or 3 days, and we get a rain. So Stark has assured me they want to get that off their plate as much as we want to get it done. And as I say, Dave Stark Sr. was on the teleconference himself, and he's assured me that project isn't just being put off. So, I mean, that's where we're at. We just have to get the proper weather window, and as everybody knows, it seems like it's raining every 3rd or 4th day.
Yeah.
And that's been the holdup. But as soon as possible, it will be done. But, of course, we certainly want to get the subgrade correct because that's the integrity of the road. We
right.
don't want to get that pavement down and it fail because of that subgrade. So it's... we're working on it, and that's where we're at. So if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to try to answer, but that's what's going on with it.
Appreciate that, Steve.
And that's all I got.
Okay. John?
I have just a few things. I don't have a whole lot, but I do want to take and commend the people that did the Memorial Day service. I thought they did an excellent job up on the square. Everybody from top to bottom, the speaker was excellent, Mike, did a great job with speaking, fire department and coming up, put the flags up, the Boy Scouts. I mean, it was just, I thought it was top notch. I thought they did really, really well up there. And I wanted to thank everybody that was involved in that memorial service because I thought they did really, really well. Then have several projects pending. We've got a couple of fire hydrants that need to be replaced. We're going to try to get those done. The guys are getting the stuff ordered, getting it here. Been a couple that have been out of service. They're older hydrants. It's just easier to replace them because you can't get the parts for a lot of the older ones anymore. Like anything else, they just start phasing it out, and then you either have to tear down another one that you have or just replace. So we're going to do that. We got 3 valves that need replaced, and they're going to try to be scheduling when they can shut down, get the valves in place, and do it as quickly as they possibly can. So that's being done. And then on new business, I've had the, we talked about the control panels for the water plant. Takes care of the lime and gets everything in service. We got a bid that was almost $1,500 cheaper than our engineer's bid, which that doesn't happen very often. I was really kind of shocked. Because usually everything has been way higher lately. But I did get a hold of all you commissioners and tell you that I was going to go ahead and get that ordered because there's a layover time of getting it here. Then they have to schedule when the guy can come down to install it and get it all installed. So tonight when we get down to that, I want to go ahead and vote on that so they've got it ordered, and that way we'll be getting here. And when it gets put in, we can pay them because it's just one of those deals that it has started to act up. You'll pay more in overtime. If the guys have to be down there working over the weekends, running 24/7, they have to be around to make sure they start and stop and everything goes according to plan. So it's actually a benefit to go ahead and get it and get it put in and have it up and running. So when we get down there, I'll expect to just go ahead and vote on that and get that already approved. So, and other than that, I don't have anything else.
All right. Danny, public health and safety.
the park on the west side of town. I can't even think the name of it right now.
Downey Park.
Downey Park. The equipment's in. The parking's done. The guys all went down there and got that all once the rain finally stopped and they could get the mud holes fixed. We've got a few other little things that's going to happen down there, and that park is really getting used.
Yeah.
Jeff and Ben's pickleball park is just got recoated. So they've got to put the fences back up and so forth, but it really looks nice. You'll see on down here an additional of $5,700. There was some cracks that developed over the winter that had to be repaired before they could do it.
Right.
And that's what I called you guys about. So
yep.
That's down there also. The cemetery, I caught some grief over the mowing here lately, and I talked to them again today. And we'll see how it goes for the rest of the year for the contract. But yeah. They know we were not happy with it. So
good. Did you talk to them about the trimming also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they said they're going to step it up, and we'll see what happens.
Good deal. Thank you.
So that just happened today. Ben, you got anything?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the heads up on that backing me over the bus there. I don't have anything to note of business, but I will say that I was down at Downey Park just after lunch today to replace the flagpole, the Walk of Honor, and that place was full of kids and families, so it's definitely taking advantage of that new equipment, so kudos there.
I'd just like to see the public keep the garbage picked up.
Well, they were using it today, for sure, so that's all I have. Okay.
That's all I have.
Accounts and Finance, I don't have anything today. We don't have any old business, but we do have some new business. Do you have a
couple things?
Okay, yep. You have a motion?
Yeah, motion to approve the additional work at the pickleball courts from All Weather Courts in the amount of $5,750.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Motion carried. And you got another one.
Yep. Motion to approve the bid for the control panel at the water plant from Allen Integrated Control Systems, Inc. in the amount of $5,576.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Now, John, is this the original panel we're replacing?
Yes. That one's been in there for 20
That's
years.
20 years ago, yeah.
And we got very lucky that it's lasted as long as it did. The box started rotting out, but the internal parts of it kept running. We kept doing a few little things to it, but yeah. It really held
it's
up.
Time.
And the new one is going to be even more, I don't know how to call it, airtight, and it's going to be sealed better than the old one, and it's going to be it's a little different system. So it should hold up, and if it gets another 20 years out of it, I think that'd be great. So
that's good.
And it's got the system that is integral with our computer programming and everything. These guys are setting it all up so it'd work. So
yeah,
that's great.
Okay, call the roll, please.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
And then we, let's see, what is it we have to put on file here?
Yep. Asbestos removal.
Oh, that's on the property
611 North Quincy.
North Quincy Street.
AAA, $12,230.
And that does not include any demolition. That just includes asbestos removal. And then once we get that done, we can go with the demolition part of
Great.
It. Okay, any other business? Okay, there's no closed session, so entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion made, seconded. Please call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
I have some...